I'm so glad to stand before you or in front of you today. Thank you for coming to the church. For those who is the first time to be here, my name is Sammy Kabiemera Atuoki. If you call me Atuoki, I feel like in Africa because there's a respectful name. There are 12 of them. Atuoki, Amonti, Akiki, Aboki, Arari, Atenye, Apuri, Achari. But you don't need them. So thank you for coming. Before I go to the message today, I want to again express my condolences to the whole church and the family because we know all of us that our sister Carol passed away and now she's with the Lord Jesus. I want us to read a couple of verses which are not among my teaching today. I want us to read, if possible, together. I think he has displayed this in front of us. So if you don't mind, you can read with us. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. The Bible says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." Say amen for that. The other one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked." Hallelujah. "For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." Philippians 1:21. "For to me to live is who? Christ. And to die is a loss." Is that one? Gain. Hallelujah. "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Romans 14:8. "If we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to who? To the Lord." Isaiah 25, verse 8. I love this. "He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace for all the earth. The Lord has spoken." 1 Corinthians 15, 26. "The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death." And John 14, 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die." And finally, Revelation 21, verse 4, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things have passed away." Hallelujah. 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 That's the good news. Though we've lost our sister, but we have hope. We have hope that she's gone to be with the Lord. And the Bible says she now rests. No more tears, no more suffering. Shall we pray, Church of God? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time again. For this time again, you've opened the door for me to stand before your people. And Lord, I thank you for that. I'm just a vessel that you've chosen among all these vessels that today I may stand here. And I pray that, Lord, you may increase as I decrease. I humble myself and ask your Holy Spirit to come and lead me and bless the congregation, O Lord. May your word be conveyed to them according to your spirit, grace, and love. I thank you for this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Pastor Vicky is not with us. He's such a wonderful man of God. He went to vacation, and after he prayed a lot, I believe God convinced him to give the place for me to speak for 3 weeks, 3 Sundays, today, the following Sunday, and the other one. So I'm so glad that you're here with us. You're praying for me, and we are praying for one another. And I believe throughout these 3 weeks, God will speak to us, he'll talk to us, and he'll help us as well. So we are still praying for Pastor Vic, wherever he is, and we know that he'll be okay, and he'll enjoy his time, and we hope him to come back soon. I also want to bring the greeting from my wife, Eva Tusitemanya, a dearie from Uganda, and my daughter-in-law, and my grandson. They all greet you. They love you. We are family. Amen. Now, let's go to the Word of God. Today, I'm going to read in the book of Acts chapter 16. That is the New Testament. For those who want to find it easily, it's the fifth book in the New Testament after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you got Acts. And the page is 1,333, and you're going to find this passage here. Acts chapter 16. We start from verse 16, and we're going to finish to the verse 34. But because of the time, I would request that you help me read this at your own time, but I'll just grab and read the last passages, which is verse 29 to verse 34. I repeat, because of time, I would encourage you to go read the whole passage from verse 16 to 34, but now I'm reading only from verse 29 up to verse 34. I read in the name of Jesus. The jailer called for light, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his entire household were baptized. What a good news here. Verse 34. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Amen. The Lord gave me the subject to talk about is a subject concerning salvation, and the topic is God wants all people to be saved. God wants all people to be saved. It's my favorite subject, salvation. Everywhere I go, the first topic I speak about is about salvation. Salvation is good. Salvation is important. Salvation is for our good, and it's the will of God. If we also go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, the Bible say, For this is good before God, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, going back to the book of Acts, the first thing we will ask is, who wrote this book of Acts? By the way, many people think the book of Acts was written by Paul. No, it was not written by Paul. It was written by Luke. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and also he wrote Acts of Apostles. And this book of Acts provides the basic history about the spread of Christianity After the Holy Spirit came, Christianity took place, started in Jerusalem. And this book of Acts is the book that gives that history. How did Christianity start? When was the first time this word Christian was called? And also it's the book that serves as a link between the Gospels and the epistles or the letters. It also can be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit because it teaches about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you read the book of Acts, you're going to be amazed. It's so awesome to find what God is doing after the Holy Spirit came in Jerusalem. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit starts the work through the disciples and the apostles, and the church started from there. So it's an amazing book. Now, where we read in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 16 to 34, what is going on there? As I say, I'm talking about salvation. And here we are taking the example of this man called the jailer or the prison keeper. He got saved that night. So what happened exactly? What happened? The Bible says, Paul and Silas, they were going to pray. They were going to the place of prayer. They were following. They met that lady who was predicting. She had a spirit of fortune telling. She could predict. She could speak about your life. She was in the business of telling people how long they're going to live and when they're going to kick their buckets. She could just see you and say, come over here, let me read on your palm. I can see you are gone. So she has a business of doing that. She was filled with that spirit of predicting about people's life. And remember, this was a business which was under her boss. People were behind her. They were taking benefit of that. And then she was like serving them and making good money in their company, which was the company of speaking about someone's life. I believe this was really, really, even now, the people are still doing that. People are going to the witchcraft. People are going to the magician. They want to check if how long they're going to live. I'm telling you the truth. No one knows your life except God. I miss amen here. Amen. No one knows how long you're going to live except God. I know when I was in Africa a long time ago, and when I was young still, one day in my grade 10, I remember, with my friend, they took me to one place. You know, he's a magician there. And then before that, you know, I was not saved yet. So I went with them, my friend, and we entered that small house. And then this man started to predict about people's life. And then since he knew that I was from a rich family, he gave me a wrong prediction. You know what he said? He said, oh, this boy here looks like he's not going to even, he doesn't have even 1 year to live. But if he wants, I can clean everything out and he's going to be living long. I said, no, you are lying. My life doesn't belong to you. It's not in your hands. So Paul was going to prayer meeting and Silas, and then that lady came up and she started speaking. What was she saying? She was shouting and saying that these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She was shouting this over every day, and Paul became annoyed because he understood that this was not from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, dear friend, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So it's not good to believe every spirit. We're going to test if the spirit, what people are prophesying, people are saying, if it's true. And what did Paul do? After Paul realized that this lady was possessed by the evil spirit, the Bible says Paul casts that demon, and at the moment, the evil spirit left that lady. Paul commanded the spirit to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And that moment, the spirit left her, and no more prophecy, no more predicting. What? Wasn't it amazing to see that the Holy Spirit can shut down the spirit of the devil? Hallelujah. And we've been given that power, my brother, my sister. We have that power. We have that authority. The Bible says, there's a sign for those who believe in Jesus, in my name, they'll cast out demons. Not only pastors, not only evangelists, every believer. If you believe in Jesus, you have this authority. Hallelujah. So Paul stopped that evil spirit, and then the lady could not continue with that business of prophecy. And that is the root of the problem. That was the beginning of the problem. What happened? You know, this owner of the business, this owner of that lady, that slave woman, what did they do? They were very mad, very sad, and they went to sue Paul to the magistrate, and finally they got Paul and Silas beaten and thrown in the prison. And that is the beginning of salvation of this man who is a prisoner, a prison keeper called the jailer. Paul and Silas are in the prison. The Bible says they were beaten and thrown in the prison, and this man was commanded, ordered to watch over them so that they may not escape. When I was reading this Bible, I find something so amazing here. The man was on the duty. He was doing a night shift. He was making his mucho dinero. He had no plan for salvation. He was there. And then it was a night shift, what we call here graveyard. But he was watching the prisoners. And that was his duty. But he saw so very strange thing happening that night. That was a special night for this jailer. I call this from nightmare to salvation. Give God a good clap. Hallelujah. He saw the nightmare, but that turned to become to his salvation. So what did he see? He saw, first of all, Paul in prison and Silas. So that was different people in prison that night. Instead of these two prisoners just sitting, sleeping, taking their time and waiting for what will happen, he saw Paul and Silas at midnight starting praying. They started the night service. The church started. He saw Paul and Silas praising God, singing, and praying. So he was amazed. What's going on with these prisoners? That's strange. That's different. You know, when Peter was in prison, he didn't pray. He didn't pray. He just slept. And what happened? The church was praying, and then God sent the angel to deliver Peter. But that was different from Paul and Silas. They were praying. They were singing. And the Bible says the angel came. God intervened by the earthquake, and the prison door were open. Even the chains were broke loose. So this man saw all these things happening in the prison at night. And when he saw after the earthquake at all that, he saw the door of the prison is open, because after all, when he realized that Paul and Silas, they're just praying and singing, he decided to take a nap. He thought, okay, this must be a very special shift where I can just relax and sleep and get my money tomorrow. He just took a nap. But as he was sleeping, there was earthquake, the prison shake, all the doors were open, and the chains broke loose. So he woke up, he thought that the prisoners are outside, they have evaded, they have escaped. He was afraid because he was on duty, and his role was to watch over these prisoners. So what did he do? He decided to end his life. He decided to kill himself. He took a sword He wanted to kill himself. And Paul said, no, don't do that. Don't kill yourself. We are all here. That was amazing. It was amazing for him to see that. And the Bible says from there, he came to them and asked them, sir, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. What must I do to be saved? And that's where our teaching starts. What must I do to be saved? And the Bible says Paul explained to him the word of God. He preached him the gospel. He took Paul and Silas to his place, cleaned, washed their wounds, and then he and his family believed in Jesus, and all they got baptized that very night. A good clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. All got baptized, and that was a very good night, and they were all happy. The Bible said they were all happy because they became Christian. They believed in Jesus Christ. They were overjoyed. The joy of salvation, my brother, my sister. You cannot compare the joy of salvation with any other joy. The joy of being set free from the slavery of Satan. The joy of being forgiven all your sins. Hallelujah. The joy of becoming a child of God. The joy of knowing that your name is written in the living book. The joy of becoming a child of God. That's a total perfect joy. And I pray today, as I'm praying, as I'm speaking, may the Lord visit you. And before the preaching, that the Lord really attract your mind, your soul, and may he save you in the name of Jesus. And may you also experience that joy that the very man experienced that very night at his place. Hallelujah. Now, the man believed in Jesus. He received Jesus, he believed in God, and his family, they were all happy, and they started serving God. Amazing. The question is here now, what is to be saved? What is to be saved? That's a very big and important question that anyone can ask. What is to be saved? Well, what is to be saved? I believe many answers are good to be given here, but not all answers are perfect. Listen to this. Others think to be saved means not to eat pork. Oh yeah, I met people who say, well, I'm saved because I don't eat pork. I don't eat pig. I don't eat pork. Well, it's one of the answers. Others say to be saved means to be raised in Christian family. It's a good answer, but is it right? Some say to be saved is to be going to church every Sunday. What a wonderful answer, and what a wonderful thing to be attending the church. That's nice. It's the will of God. Some say to be saved mean to be a prophet, to be a pastor, to be an evangelist. Some also say you are not saved until when you speak in tongue. I met some churches which say they emphasize about speaking in tongue. They say if you don't speak in tongue, you're not going to heaven. Is it true? Is that what the Bible says? No. Some again say to be saved means giving your offering regularly and paying your tithe. You're saved. Well, all this is a good thing. God wants you to do that. He's okay for that. But is that salvation? Some think to donate to the charity, to being married to a reverend or a pastor, to be in the choir, to be dressed in white robe every day, you know, like Pharisees, to be born and raised either in Israel or in Africa. Well, you know, sometimes people think when I'm in Africa, I'll really get saved. I'm telling you, in Africa, many people are not saved. So it's not where you are, your location. It's about what the Bible says. So what is to be saved? What is to be saved? Number one, when I was doing my research, I found in the dictionary, salvation, to be saved is to be rescued. Hallelujah. To be rescued. You know, we have a rescuer every time here, the firefighter, the ambulance. These are for rescuing. Remember the thing that happened to Fort McMurray. Canada sent people to rescue. Hallelujah. In the times of Ebola in Sierra Leone, the world sent the rescue to rescue people, to help people. Salvation is to be rescued. Salvation is also not only to be rescued, but to be healed. To be healed. Healed from this, from the disease, universal disease, which is sin. Transgression of the law of God. Sin. That's a big disease. It's more than HIV. It's more than cancer. Sin. Can you tell your neighbor and friend, say, you know what? Sin is more than HIV, more than cancer. Can you turn to one and tell him? Oh, here come again. Sammy start again. Sin is a terrible disease. It's a terrible disease. But there is good news. There is a remedy. The blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To be saved, it's also to be protected from danger. To be protected from danger. Which danger? Let me tell you, there is one danger ahead of the humanity, ahead of people. Those who will not accept Jesus for their life, they will be thrown to the hell forever. That we call the eternal death. The eternal punishment. You are not saved. You are not rescued. You are not healed. You haven't have Jesus in your life as a Savior and Lord. My brother, my sister, it's dangerous because after this world, after this life, there is life after this. Either in heaven with God or in the other side of the place, which is terrible. Remember the story of Lazarus and the story of the rich man. So, salvation is to be rescued and it's also to be healed. Now, who has to be saved? Who deserves to be saved? Some think, you know, I don't need to be saved, you know. I'm okay. I was born in a Christian family. You know, I'm okay. Who to be saved? The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. Say amen for that. It is good before God. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't please you. It's not about us. It's about God. He knows we are lost. We deserve to be saved. And the only way is to accept Jesus. So who deserves to be saved? All people need to be saved. Why to be saved? Why to be saved? Number one, we all are sinners. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 6, 23, 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. I like this. There is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never makes a mistake. Now, what is the wage of sin? We know all. Romans 6, 23. For the wage of sin is what, church? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So, who need to be saved? Everybody. Everyone. Are you a human being? You need to be saved. The question number four is, who saves? I like this question. And I put this question there because there's too many confusion in the church today. Who saves? Who is a savior? Well, I know many churches say, you know, come to a church, you'll be saved. If not here, but different places, people say, you know what? When I changed this church, I went to another church, I got saved. Maybe true. But was it the problem of changing your church that saved you? Someone say, you know what? That prophet is the one who saved my life. Is that true? Who saves? Who is the savior? Who saves us? The Bible says here in the book of Psalm 3, verse 7 and 8, arise, O Lord, save me. Hallelujah.
Oh my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheeks bone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belong unto who? Unto the Lord. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Salvation does not belong unto someone. No one has power to save you. Your father cannot save you. Your brother, your sister cannot save you. Only the Lord can save us. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation belongs to God. And if you go to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. So, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered and was made perfect. Listen to this. Listen to this, church. I love this. Once made perfect, he became what? Church, he became what? I want to hear that. He became what? He became the source of what? Eternal salvation for who? For all who obey him. Hallelujah. Jesus is the source of our salvation. How to be saved? How then someone can become saved? How then can someone get saved? I put it so simple here, basically, so that you understand it clearly. Number one, be concerned about your condition, about sin. You know, if you are not concerned about your sickness, will you go to the doctor? No. If you don't feel like the sickness you have, you are suffering, you have some problem, headaches, backache, you name it. If you are not concerned about your condition, will you seek the doctor? No. The first thing for human to be saved, you gotta be concerned about the condition. And what is the condition? Sin. We are all sinners. As it is written, there is no right, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So number one, you're going to get saved. You got to understand that you are a sinful person. You are a man. You are a human being. You got to understand and accept that. Many people say, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Well, you were born naturally. You're a sinner. And you live, you do sometimes sin. You live in this world which is surrounded by sin. You are a human being. And the Bible says, if we say that we don't sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our iniquities. Hallelujah. So, number one, be concerned about your condition. We see the example here, the prodigal son. What happened? When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servant have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. You know that story. He was concerned of his condition. How? How can you get saved? It's by hearing the gospel, to hear the word of God that we are preaching you, to hear the message of the cross, to hear the good news. What is the good news? The good news is here, that despite our condition, despite a human being is in sin, despite that we fall short of the glory of God, God loves us. He sent his begotten son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah. So Jesus came. He came from heaven. He was here. He was dead. He died on the cross. And the third day he rose from the dead, and he's in heaven. He'll come back again to take the church. That is the good news. Hallelujah, church. You got to accept that good news. And after you understand it, you accept it that you are a human being and you deserve the salvation. You need Jesus to save you. And after you understand this, you are going to accept him as your Savior and Lord. And this also goes with the repentance. It goes with the repentance. The Bible says, repent then and turn to God so that your sin may be wiped out, that time of refreshing may come from the Lord. So, you repent. Repent means do the U-turn. You feel bad. You have sorrow of what you've done. And you say, I've decided, I resolve to give my life to Jesus. I want him to save me I want him to change my life. And what do? You confess. The Bible says, Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, this is very important here. You can confess from your mouth, but your heart is not there. It has to come from your heart. The Bible says, he came to that which has his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. It's something important here, church. Listen to me, church. The Bible says in James, even Satan believes and do what? And do what, church? And tremble. But will Satan change? So there is two kinds of believing. You can believe like Satan, but you have to believe and receive Jesus in your heart. You receive him as your Savior and you receive him as your Lord. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. You receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. That's how you do it, and that's really important. Now, the last question will be, what is the price of salvation? It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We are saved by grace. That is not by work, so that no one can boast. Just the grace of God, unmerited favor, the grace of God that brings salvation to all people has appeared. Hallelujah. So we need to know that the grace of God is even here. If we accept him, we accept Jesus, we can be saved. I want to jump to the last question. When to get saved? When to get saved? When to get saved? That's my last question. But before I give it to you, let me read for you this illustration that I found in this book. This is an awesome book I was reading, and I found a good illustration here that I want you, if possible, to listen to it. Amen? Praise be the name of God. Hallelujah. I found this illustration here in this small book, and I like it, and I believe this illustration gonna bless you too. This is what it says. It says, this is the illustration. I like it here. It says, there is a great deal of hypocrisy. And then it says, there was a story of a man who was desperate to make some money. He was desperate to make some money. So he went down to the city zoo, hoping to get a job, feeding the animals. The manager at the zoo had no openings. But seeing how big this man was, he offered him another possible position. Our gorilla died the other day, and that was one of our most popular exhibits. If we got you a special gorilla suit, would you put it on and imitate him for a few days? Well, we will pay you well for it. The guy was so desperate, he agreed. He actually did quite well over the next few days. He would dress up in his gorilla suit, beat his chest, and shake the bars of his cage. Huge crowds soon gathered at the exhibit, and the money was good. One day, however, while performing his gorilla act, he was swinging on his trapeze and accidentally lost his grip. Wow. This landed him right in the middle of the lion's den. The huge beast gave a ferocious roar. The man in the gorilla suit realized he couldn't cry for help without revealing that he was a fake. He slowly walked backward away from the lion, hoping to climb back into his cage. The lion, with a very hungry look on his face, started to follow him. Finally, in desperation, the man in the gorilla suit cried out, "Help!" Immediately the lion whispered loudly, "Shut up." "Shut up, stupid. You'll get us both fired." Unfortunately, we know sometimes we can play around that we are doing good, we are okay, but the time comes when we're going to find ourselves in front of God, and we're going to find ourselves at the judgment, and we got to be ready. That's why you deserve to learn, you deserve to know, you deserve to get this teaching, because you are among the special people on this world who have decided to follow God. So you deserve to know more about salvation, because this is important. Now, when to get saved, just 2 points. Number one, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2-4, he says, "In the time of my favor, I had you, and in the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Hallelujah. And finally, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3:15, as has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Jesus is clear, saying in Revelation, "Here I am, I stand on the door, at the door, and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So, brothers and sisters, God wants every person to be saved. It's the will of God that we get saved. It's the will of God that we be set free. It's the will of God that we accept Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. And thank you that you've been in the church for a long time. You've been coming. And thank you for those who have just come today. But I'm here standing in front of you, telling you from Africa a good news, that God loves you. Hallelujah. And that you can be saved. Hallelujah. And that by accepting Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, your name will be written in the living book. Shall we close our eyes and pray, church? God loves you. Many people have died. People who were born with you, people who were born after you, people who were born before you. If you're still alive today, it's his grace. It's not like you. We are the best, we are better people. No, it's his grace. And that's good news. The other news is that one day we're going to die. We don't know when. Maybe by a car accident, maybe by anything can happen anytime. We know the world is not a peaceful place, but we want to be ready. We want to get ready. The Lord Jesus can come anytime. You're here in this church today. God loves you. You know that. The reason you came here is because God had a message for you. But you may be here today. You haven't really had an assurance of salvation. You are not sure if you've given your life to Jesus. I want to offer this opportunity, my brother, my sister, that you make things right today. That you give your life to Jesus, that you accept him as your Savior and Lord. Remember, he died on the cross for us. He gave himself for us. He finished all the cross. You have nothing to do but just accepting him as your Savior and Lord. And I'm telling you, you will experience the joy that you have never experienced forever. And that will be an assurance of your salvation. Is there anyone today that want to make the devil mad, that want to make the devil ashamed, that want to make the devil mad and say, "Here I am, I want to give my life to Jesus"? If you're here today, I would like you to raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anyone here today? Thank you. Thank you very much. And God knows you. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Anyone else? You want to give your life to? Thank you. Anyone else? You want to give your life to Jesus? Just by raising your hand is a sign to say, "I'm here. I've heard the gospel. I want to make things right with God." Raise your hand, I will see you, and we'll pray together. Anyone else? You want to make things right with God? You want to give your life to Jesus? Just by the hand raising, I will see, and we'll pray together. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. He knows you. Who else want to give his life to Jesus? Raise your hand, and we'll pray to you. We'll pray together. Anyone else? Thank you. Shall we rise up, all of us, church? Let us pray together. And with those who have given their life to Jesus, let us pray together. If you can lift our hand, let's lift our two hands. That's how we celebrate because of our brothers and sisters who want to give their life to Jesus. Let us repeat this prayer together with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. I know you love me. And today I accept that I am a sinner. And that I deserve nothing but eternal punishment. But thank you, Jesus, that you finish everything on the cross. Now I'm here today. I confess my sins. And I say, Lord, forgive me. Today, I receive you in my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. And from now on, lead my life. Teach me to read your word. Teach me to pray. Teach me to do your will and to walk according to your will. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. From now on, I know that I am saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Shall we give a good clap and shout as we celebrate for our brothers and sisters who have given their life to Jesus? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us your message. And thank you for your people who have responded. This brother and that sister and our sister there, Lord, and our brother here, Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, we know that it is your will that we know the truth that will set us free. Because you say, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So bless all of us and bless your church. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, and let's meet again next Sunday for the following message. God bless you.